Welcome back to Science TLDR, the show that brings you the latest in scientific research without the jargon. Today we're diving deep into a paper from Nature Immunology titled "A Second Generation M1 Polarized CAR Macrophage with Antitumor Efficacy."
Sounds intriguing.
It is. This research tackles a major challenge in oncology.
Yeah, I'm guessing you mean fighting solid tumors.
You got it.
Yeah.
So let's unpack this paper and see what they found.
Okay, I'm ready.
So right off the bat, they're not using the usual suspects, you know, like CAR T cells.
Right. They're focusing on CAR macrophages.
Exactly. Which honestly is a pretty exciting new direction.
Definitely. Macrophages have a lot of potential in this area.
Absolutely. So let's break down how they engineered these CAR macrophages.
All right. So they started with induced pluripotent stem cells.
Ah, iPSCs. Those are like the blank slates of the cell world.
That's a good way to put it. And they can be differentiated into basically any cell type, which makes them super useful for this type of research.
So they basically took these iPSCs and turned them into macrophages.
Exactly. And then they engineered them with CARs, chimeric antigen receptors.
Those are like homing devices for the immune system, right?
Yeah, they guide the engineered cells to specific targets, like cancer cells.
Clever. So did they just engineer one type of CAR?
Actually, they created two. First-generation CAR, which they called CD3 CAR, and a second-generation CAR with an extra component.
An extra component. What was that?
It was the TIR domain, and they named this CAR CD3 TIR CAR.
Interesting. So they had their CAR IMAX, the iPSC-derived macrophages. Mm-hmm. What did they do next?
They tested them, both in vitro and in vivo.
Ah, so in the lab and then in living organisms.
Yep. They used two types of solid tumors, glioblastoma and hepatocellular carcinoma.
Brain cancer and liver cancer. Tough ones.
Definitely.
And drumroll, please. Which CAR IMAC came out on top?
The second generation CAR IMAC, the one with the TR domain, was the clear winner.
Really? By how much? Was it a small difference?
Not at all. They saw way better tumor cell killing compared to both the first generation TIR IMAC and the non-engineered IMACs.
Wow. So that extra TIR domain really packed a punch.
It did. Especially against the liver cancer model, they actually saw complete tumor remission in most of the mice.
Complete remission, huh? That's remarkable. What made the second generation SARIR so much more effective? That TIR domain, right?
Yeah, the TIR domain is the key player here. It activates something called the NFB pathway in macrophages.
The NFB pathway. Refresh my memory on that one.
Sure. So it's a signaling pathway involved in lots of cellular processes, including inflammation and immune responses.
Okay, right. And what does activating this pathway actually do to the macrophages?
Essentially, it shifts them into this highly active pro-inflammatory state. We call it M1 polarization.
And M1 macrophages are like the ultimate cancer-fighting machines.
Pretty much. They're known for their potent tumor-killing abilities.
So this TIR domain is essentially turning these macrophages into super soldiers.
Exactly. And get this, the way these CAR IMACs kill tumor cells is fascinating.
Oh, how so?
They actually induce apoptosis.
Apoptosis, programmed cell death.
Right. And then they gobble up the cellular debris through efferocytosis.
It's like a double whammy kill and cleanup.
Precisely. A highly efficient two-pronged attack. Mm. So what are your thoughts on the implications of this research for cancer treatment?
Well, it seems pretty groundbreaking, especially for treating those solid tumors that are usually so resistant to treatment.
Yeah, I agree. This study suggests that these SCARR IMACs, especially those with the second generation site, are could be a game changer in that fight.
Plus, they're antigen specific, right? Meaning they should only target the cancer cells with that specific antigen.
Yep, and that means fewer side effects compared to more general cancer treatments.
That's a huge advantage. Now, every scientific breakthrough has its limitations. What did the paper's discussion section highlight?
The main thing they pointed out is that this is still preclinical research.
Meaning it's only been tested in cells and mice, not humans yet.
Right. More research, especially clinical trials, are needed to determine if it'll be safe and effective for people.
That makes sense. It's still early days, but promising nonetheless.
Absolutely. They also brought up another point.
Go on.
It seems that CAR IMAX didn't survive for very long in the mice.
Ah, so they need to figure out how to make those cells last longer in the body to get a lasting effect.
Exactly. That's one of the big challenges for the field right now.
Okay, so it sounds like we've got a potential breakthrough on our hands.
We do, but it needs more work before it can reach its full potential.
That's science for you, always pushing the boundaries.
Yeah, enhancing that lifespan is definitely key. But even with that limitation, the results are pretty impressive.
Absolutely. And they did a really nice job confirming the role of that TIR domain in all of this. Remember, it's that extra component they added to the second generation CR.
Right. They did some clever experiments to isolate the effect of the TIR domain.
Yeah. So they had three groups of CAR IMACs:
Yeah.
the first generation, the second generation with the TIR domain, and a control group with no CR at all.
Makes sense. A good experimental design. And I'm guessing the results were pretty clear-cut.
Oh, yeah. The second generation CAR IMACs with the TIR domain were by far the most effective at killing those tumor cells.
Not surprising, but still good to see. Did they measure anything besides tumor cell death?
They did. They also looked at the expression of certain cytokines.
Cytokines, those are like the signaling molecules of the immune system.
Exactly. And they found increased expression of IL-6, IL-12, and TNF.
Ah, those are all pro-inflammatory cytokines, key players in the fight against cancer.
Yep. So basically, those CAR IMACs are doing double duty,
Wow.
directly attacking the tumor cells and then calling in reinforcements from the rest of the immune system.
Clever little soldiers, huh?
Yeah.
But how did they actually confirm that the TIR domain was activating the NFD pathway?
Well, they use a technique called immunofluorescence to visualize the location of NFP P65.
NFB P65, that's a subunit of the NFP transcription factor, right?
Yep. And when the pathway is activated, NFD P65 moves into the nucleus of the cell.
Okay, and what did they see?
In the second generation CAR IMACs, they found that NFKB65 was concentrated in the nucleus, which means the pathway was actively driving gene expression.
Okay, so that supports the idea that the TIR domain is indeed activating NFKB. Did they do anything else to confirm that?
Oh yeah, they weren't done yet. They used a drug to block the NFKB pathway.
Interesting. What happened then?
Well, as you'd expect, the CAR IMACs lost a lot of their killing power.
That's a pretty convincing confirmation that the NFKB pathway is essential for that enhanced anti-tumor activity.
Okay, so we've established that the TIR domain is doing its job, activating NFKB. But how did they show that these CAR IMACs were actually achieving that M1 polarization state we talked about earlier?
They used single-cell RNA sequencing, or crRNA-seq for short. It's a powerful tool for analyzing gene expression.
Ah, so they could see exactly which genes were turned on or off in each individual CRIMAC.
Exactly. And the data showed a distinct gene expression signature that was consistent with M1 polarization. So they saw increased expression of genes associated with M1 polarization and decreased expression of genes associated with the M2 state.
You got it.
Nice. That's pretty solid evidence. You mentioned M2 polarization a couple of times now. Maybe a quick reminder for our listeners about the difference between those two states.
Sure. So macrophages are incredibly versatile cells. They can adopt different phenotypes depending on their environment. And we can broadly classify them into two main subtypes, M1 and M2.
Like two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. And they have very different roles. Think of M1 macrophages as the warriors. They're pro-inflammatory and key for fighting off infections and tumors.
Okay, so M1 is the attack force. What about M2?
M2 macrophages are more like the peacekeepers. They're involved in tissue repair and dampening down inflammation.
So for cancer treatment, we want those macrophages to be in that M1 state.
Exactly. We want them primed and ready to fight. And that's precisely what they achieved with those second generation CRIMACs.
So that crRNA-seq data provided further confirmation that they were strongly polarized toward that desirable M1 state. That's great. Now, let's get back to that dual killing mechanism, inducing apoptosis and then clearing out the debris through efferocytosis. Did they do any visualizations of that process?
Oh, yeah, they did. They used time-lapse microscopy to actually watch these apoptotics in action.
Wow, so they could actually see them inducing apoptosis in the tumor cells and then engulfing those apoptotic bodies.
It was pretty remarkable. They observed the entire process. The GICS CAR IMACs making contact with the tumor cells, the tumor cells undergoing apoptosis, and then the KIR IMACs just gobbling up those apoptotic bodies.
Like a well-coordinated attack and cleanup operation. Fascinating.
It is. And this efferocytosis process is more than just a cleanup job, you know.
Right. It prevents those dying tumor cells from releasing harmful molecules, which could further damage tissues or even help the tumor grow.
Exactly. It's like an extra layer of protection. So smart. But it gets even more interesting. The researchers dug deeper into the molecular mechanisms behind this.
Oh, tell me more.
Well, they found that the TIR domain, in addition to activating the NFE pathway, can also activate the PI3K-ACT pathway.
Hold on. PI3K-ACT, isn't that involved in cell growth and survival?
It is. And importantly, it's also involved in the cytoskeletal rearrangements needed for efferocytosis.
Ah, so the TIR domain is a real multitasker, activating multiple pathways that contribute to both the killing and the cleanup.
Exactly. This TIR domain is the puppet master pulling all the strings.
Okay, so we've talked a lot about the in vitro work, but did they test these KRI-MAX in animal models?
They did. They used mouse models of both glioblastoma and liver cancer. Remember, those were the two cancers they focused on earlier?
Right, right. So they implanted human tumor cells into the mice and then treated them with either the first-generation KRI-MAX, the second-generation KRI-MAX, or a control.
A good way to compare the effectiveness of each approach. So how did the mice do?
The results were really encouraging. In both tumor models, the mice treated with the second-generation KRI-MAX showed significantly less tumor growth and lived longer than the other groups. That's great news. Sounds like they're on the right track.
It does. But of course, no research is without its limitations. What did the researchers themselves point to as potential areas for further investigation?
Well, one thing they acknowledged was that they only tested these KRI-MAX against two types of cancer. It's possible that this approach might not be effective against all solid tumors.
Right. There's still a lot to learn about how different cancers might respond to this type of therapy.
And they also pointed out that those KRI-MAX didn't completely eliminate the tumors in all cases.
Which is a reminder that cancer is incredibly complex. There are so many factors at play that can influence treatment response.
Absolutely. And of course, there's the issue of the KRI-MAX relatively short lifespan in vivo, something we talked about earlier. Figuring out how to make those cells last longer in the body is crucial for long-term success.
Definitely. But overall, the researchers seem pretty optimistic about the potential of these second-generation KRI-MAX for treating solid tumors.
As they should be. It's a really promising approach, and I'm excited to see where this research goes next.
Me too. I'm particularly interested in seeing how those KRI-MAX perform in clinical trials. It'll be exciting to see if they can live up to their potential in humans. It's interesting that they're already thinking about clinical trials even with those limitations. I wonder if they'll stick with glioblastoma and liver cancer, or if they'll try it on other types of cancer.
It probably depends on a bunch of stuff, but it makes sense to start with what they already know, you know? They've got a good amount of data for those two.
Right. Before we wrap up, I wanted to circle back to something that caught my attention. It's how those KRI-MAX actually do the killing. We talked about the dual mechanism, apoptosis and efferocytosis. I'm curious about the details.
Oh, yeah. They really went deep on those mechanisms. They used time-lapse microscopy to break down the whole process.
So they could see the KRI-MAX making those tumor cells go through apoptosis and then swallowing up the apoptotic bodies, like, in real time.
Yep. They saw it all, from the first contact between the KRI-MAX and the tumor cell all the way to the apoptotic debris being completely engulfed.
It's got to be amazing to see. Did they mention any advantages of this dual mechanism compared to other approaches?
They brought up secondary necrosis, which is basically cell death but messy. It can cause inflammation and maybe even help the tumor grow.
So efferocytosis is like damage control.
Exactly. By cleaning up those apoptotic cells, the KRI-MAX not only kill the tumor cells, but also keep things tidy.
That could be a big advantage over other cancer therapies that might kill tumor cells, but don't have a way to clean up the mess.
Exactly. They were thinking ahead, addressing both the killing and the cleanup, which a lot of people don't think about.
It sounds like they really covered all the bases. And it all comes back to that TIR domain.
It is amazing what that little addition can do.
Right. The TIR domain triggers that whole chain reaction. It activates the NF-key pathway, which leads to the M1 polarization, and it activates the PI3K-ACT pathway, which is essential for efferocytosis.
Such an elegant system.
There's definitely a lot more to learn about these KRI-UMAX, but this research is a great start.
Definitely a big step forward for cancer immunotherapy.
Well, that's another deep dive into the latest scientific discoveries done.
Yeah, it's a good one.
We'll be back soon with more fascinating research to explore. Until then, stay curious.